Hello, grandkids, and welcome to the Stunt Gritty audio numbered 463. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, sir?
Nothing too much, Kevin. Just having a quiet night on this Independence Day Eve. As quiet as humanly possible, as always, this time of year. People get a jump start on their fireworks.
Well, yeah, they definitely do that. We do have, as I mentioned on Ye Olde Twitter, Columbus actually does their main fireworks show, always on the 3rd, so that, the municipalities around town can do their own fireworks show. So there's a whole bunch of them on the 4th itself, but there's only one on the 3rd. And people sit out, like, they go down there, they take today off to go down there to be down near ground, as close to ground zero as they can be.
No, I get it. Detroit has a similar tradition, but it is at least a week and a half in advance, typically at the end of June. So it definitely does not hit any other cities or cities' fireworks plans. I don't think I've ever actually gone down to see those fireworks. I have not actually.
Wow. Yeah, I've never gone downtown. I had a friend who lived just north of where the fireworks went off, and we did actually hang out at her place one time, so we were probably, you know, a mile or two away, but that's the closest I've ever bothered to go. I'm not that big of a fireworks guy, so it's not something that that I worry about that much.
Gotcha. Yeah. But as maybe not necessarily not speaking of fireworks, this week in wrestling, a holiday week, not a lot going on, but we'll make something of it.
Well, it's kind of funny that there are some weird fireworks going on outside of WWE TV. It would seem that might be hampering them, because first you have, and I don't think anyone talked about or. We didn't talk about this enough, maybe. Shinsuke is still out because the police dog bit him. I mean, it was confirmed that it happened, and it was him. And that's just kind of a bizarre thing. Like, I'm not sure that it'd change the feud with Jeff Hardy all that much, because I really wouldn't want them wrestling anymore anyway. So I'm fine with Jeff Hardy having an open challenge tonight.
Yeah, the whole Jeff Hardy open challenge thing has been fine. You know, I don't know if Nakamura was scheduled to win the championship last week or not. That's an interesting question. Or they've obviously now made the match for Extreme Rules. They're confident that Nakamura will be back in action by then. And I'm thinking, you know, it's probably time. Nakamura has had numerous opportunities at championships and come up short. I think he really needs this one.
I guess I would be fine with that. Jeff Hardy is Jeff Hardy. Like, that guy can do whatever exactly. He wants to. Because if they decide to throw him in the main event, no one is going to bat an eyelash at that happening. And, you know, Nakamura's really been on a roll as a heel. And even this evening when he only had the selfie promo, he was still cracking me up. So even though he's not in the ring, he's still doing his job. And it's good to be rewarded, I guess, when you're doing a good job.
Yeah, he's been doing a very good job since turning heel. Really turning his character on its ear. you know, just being, you know, this kind of wacky heel, and it's worked for him. The decision was made not to have him defeat AJ Styles for the title. Now he's setting his sights on the U.S. title. So I think he could definitely do good things with the U.S. title.
Yeah, the secondary title has meant more, probably, and I think we've discussed this within the last 3 or 4 years or so. So it's a good present to have for a guy who's really been working for it. But they could drag the feud out a little bit longer. We'll see if that happens. I would think that in the long run, Nakamura ends up with the title. Because, again, Jeff Hardy doesn't really need it at all. You know, other than to rack up another number.
Right. Yeah. Jeff certainly does not need the United States Championship. But, you know, it's been nice to have it on him. He's been a good champion. I thought his match with the Miz tonight was especially strong on SmackDown. Both came out looking pretty good, although it was a very, very clean win for Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that was kind of strange, but it's also a little bit of a, I guess, something of a byproduct. It does look like the Miz is in about as good physically shape as he's ever been in. Like, I thought he looked kind of extra bulky tonight. And I don't know if he's changing up his workout regimen, or I just hadn't really paid attention recently. But he did seem to have a new definition on him, in my opinion.
he definitely, yeah. I'd say it was kind of noticeable. I feel like he had a you know, his old physique. I was looking at him thinking, like, this is the Miz that I remember when he first started wearing short trunks and not the baggy shorts like he was during his first incarnation. I did notice this. So yeah, you are correct.
Yeah, because not having the Miztourage there, I guess it's just going to be interesting to see what they do with him. You know, he's almost got to lose clean in some ways, because a lot of the times he could blame it on the Miztourage if he lost. You know, and that excuse does not exist anymore.
Right. Yeah, that is true. And Miz is never going to... Miz is never going to be the tough guy. He is the big mouth whose mouth writes checks his ass can't cash. So he's you know, he definitely will lose probably more than he wins, especially when he's alone. But he'll always come back with a strong string of promos.
Yeah, I mean, he is the heel version of Jeff Hardy. I don't think you have anything to worry about him. He always bounces back when he suffers a loss. And I don't think he'll lose a bunch in a row. But, you know, this one's definitely handleable in the scheme of things for whomever he moves on to feud with.
Right. Yeah, Miz has his long-awaited feud with Daniel Bryan to get started whenever it's going to get started. So, you know,
well,
as long as he's got that in the bag, you know, he's going to be featured. He's got, you know, I'm sure some of his best mic work to come.
Well, and I guess speaking of that, it was the main event. It certainly was something of a thread throughout the show. Well, actually, it just opened and closed the show. Team Hell No in the Usos. You know, it worked for what it was. It's kind of weird that the Usos are the jobber tag team right now. But, you know, if you wanted to finish or feature someone else, it's going to come at their expense right now. I would hope that they would get another shot at the top, but in order to keep it fresh, you know, they've got to lose some to some teams. It'll be interesting, I guess. Like I said, I hope it doesn't last forever, and I don't think it will. But for now, they are definitely on the losing end of things more often than not.
Yeah, they've certainly been on the losing end a number of times. I mean they were absolutely destroyed by the Bludgeon Brothers multiple times. Then, you know, kind of out of the picture. You know, they did the stuff with Sandy, which they did get a win in a six-man with Jeff Hardy last week.
Oh.
But tonight, I mean, they had a pretty good match, but in the end, they were beaten pretty handily. I mean, Kane blocked their finishing move with his hands, which I guess is okay because he's a monster.
That has been executed better. I will say that it's been used previously, but it just did not look very good in this incarnation.
No, it really did not. It did look like the Usos stopped, land on their feet, and then Kane had his hands around their throats. Yeah, I mean that's a hard thing to time with both of them jumping at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I'm not really blaming anyone. I'm just saying, you know, that really did not help visually at all.
No, it was not a good visual, but Kane and Daniel Bryan did get they at the very least got a big win over the former champs before getting their own tag team championship shot at Extreme Rules. And really what has kind of become the biggest hype match on the show. Certainly on the SmackDown side of things.
It really shows, to me, Daniel Bryan's importance. It makes a lot of sense to have him have a run with Kane before Kane really, you know, does shuffle off into non-wrestling life. And, you know, they keep on dragging out the Miz feud with Daniel Bryan that you touched on earlier, and I'm perfectly fine with that, especially if you want that feud to finalize at WrestleMania, which makes a lot of sense, in my opinion.
It does make a lot of sense, but we will see if they're able to pull that off, or if that is what they want to pull off. Daniel Bryan himself has recently expressed a bit of distrust in WWE Creative's ability to make that happen in a recent interview, because Daniel Bryan gives no fucks, as they say.
I missed that, but I'm not completely surprised either. Just because there's a lot of things that the WWE could have done better.
Oh yeah, there's multiple things, and Daniel Bryan is, you know, in many ways, you know, Daniel Bryan, especially if he has not re-signed, he's the one, you know, he's the one with the leverage here. He has shown that he has no issues with walking away and working elsewhere. It is up to them to offer him the best deal as far as money and schedule. He really is in a great position here.
I mean, he's got to be the first guy that's in the spot that he's in. I mean, because
since the Monday Night War, absolutely, I believe.
As great as Kenny Omega and Okada have, you know, they've obviously lit up a bunch of matches over the last several years, plural, which is kind of crazy, that have been if they weren't the best matches of the year, somewhat the best. If somehow they pulled off getting a Daniel Bryan, I mean, that really does kind of spark something of a war. I mean, Daniel Bryan is still extremely popular.
Daniel Bryan is one of the only difference makers at this point. He really could be a difference maker for Ring of Honor, for New Japan, for any upstart promotion, not Impact. That ship has sailed. But he could really he could absolutely be a diff. Now he's not this giant name that you would just immediately can sell to, television partners and sponsors and advertisers in that way. But he's got a ridiculous amount of popularity with the fan base that could immediately, up your current television ratings. It could certainly up your live attendance, your merchandise sales. Yeah, Daniel Bryan is absolutely one of the only difference makers out there. And I'm not even sure who else I would think of. I mean, you really can't count like John Cena or Brock Lesnar because neither of them are going to wrestle full time for anyone else or ever probably possibly do anything in wrestling besides WWE.
Oh, right.
And then, I mean, who else
And
would really
well,
be a difference maker?
CM Punk is definitely thrown out there as a difference maker. And I would think that he could pull it off. And I was trying to think of some other people. There was someone else that I had in mind. And it's why did I completely blank on it right after you asked
I
me?
mean, I don't believe that Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose would really mean that much on the open market. I mean, they could do well, but once again, I don't think that they would be that kind of a difference maker for the industry. AJ Styles has already, has already been everywhere else.
Oh.
This is kind of, this is, something. I mean, he's obviously still in great shape and performing great, but this is kind of his victory lap, of his career.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of interesting, like him not being signed, like that really is kind of the big story because I guess A, kind of going back to what started it, the feud with The Miz. I mean, if you know who Brian's on his way out, he loses to The Miz, right?
That would be oh, those nerd tears would be amazing. It'd be worth it just for that.
So I there definitely are some implications, and it would be really funny to for the Miz to have those bragging rights.
I'm excited about it. Just thinking about it. Oh, if Miz ran Daniel Bryan out of WWE, oh my God.
Yeah, the Miz would really have material for forever to shut anybody up.
Yeah, he would until they decided that they don't want Daniel Bryan's name mentioned on TV anymore because it's just promoting that he's out there doing working for other people.
Yeah, because as much as and I guess we could talk about it. Well, at least the way that Chris Jericho says he's at least something of a needle mover and got some people to pop in, but he's another one where you know that he's not gonna be anything close to full time,
No,
which
and
is
I right
fine.
now do not see where. I've looked at I've taken a look at the Fozzy schedule for the rest of the year, and or at least through the fall, and that's just like, when the hell is he gonna come back and defend that title?
I have no idea. I have not checked the Fozzy tour dates. I would assume from that reaction that they are quite busy. I'm not sure, because he said that he's not going to work the U.S. shows, if I'm not mistaken, for New Japan. He'll only do them in Japan.
Right, right, right. And did you watch this week's Being the Elite?
Yes, I did.
It sounds like Jericho wants to do a six-man tag, teaming up with the Young Bucks on the cruise, so that he can say that it was not in, it was not on U.S. you know, U.S. soil, which is creative.
Those cruise ships are kind of creative to start with themselves, considering. And this was a factoid that I did not know until going on a Disney cruise, that almost all the ships are chartered from the Bahamas, just because of the it's different international law that's favorable to these companies. So, you know, I guess that's one of those things that it's not surprising. I mean, I guess if the cruise ship itself is doing something creative, that is one way to get around it, because you're in international waters, at least for part of that, and you're definitely not on soil either.
Right, right, right. So Jericho still has kept his word at that point. Although Jericho did at first say that he did not plan on wrestling on the cruise, so it sounds like something is possibly his mind has changed about that.
Well, I don't know if because I remember him mention. I felt like he mentioned in one of his podcasts, maybe not even one of his own podcasts, but one of the ones that he was on, that the cruise was not selling as well as he would have liked. And now, I'm not sure that there have been any updates. Again, not something that I've listed on my priority list very high. And I could have heard the wrong thing, too.
Right. Yeah, I feel like he's definitely keeping those numbers pretty close to the vest. He may have I do remember him letting it. Was it his own podcast with the Young Bucks that they recorded back in January that he said it? I can vaguely remember that.
That might be it.
Yeah, I don't. But then that was back in January, so I don't know where things are. But if Jericho's thinking that, you know, he is going to wrestle now, maybe because he needs another attraction. But I think that it sets sail in October for, you know, a 5-day cruise. You know, people make their vacation plans. You know, for a vacation like that, I don't know if people make any remotely last minute decisions about cruises. I've never been on one, so. Yeah, I would say that, you know, the number he has now is probably not going to change very much. But then again, I plead ignorance when it comes to, you know, how far in advance most people book cruises.
When we went on ours, my mom booked it, so I don't know exactly. I want to say it was almost a year in advance.
Right, right, right. And Jericho did start promoting this, you know, a year in advance, absolutely.
Yeah, so I mean, that's about the right time to go ahead and do it. But, you know, I guess that's always one of those things that, I was really, I guess I don't have that much interest in him, because I know that Jericho, I'm sure, got the idea there are like heavy metal cruises and things of that nature. So I'm sure he thought, oh, a wrestling cruise is going to be a great idea. And I know that he said that he pitched it to the WWE. And I'm kind of surprised that they didn't go with it, considering how many things they're trying to cover these days anyway.
Well, they were in the cruise business for a short time in the 90s, and it must not have been a very profitable endeavor. I mean, I don't know if Jericho really wanted, like, WWE's full support. I think before he went to Ring of Honor, he wanted to put on NXT shows on the cruise, and they said no about that. And that's when he went to when he made the deal with Ring of Honor.
Oh.
Although now you've got the Impact Invasion with Sami Callihan, and that intrigues me because it's just like Sami Callihan, of course, is doing this whole Brian Pillman-esque, you know, he's really crazy gimmick. Well, let's see you work your gimmick on a cruise ship for 4 days. Brian Pillman would have.
Yeah. That's why I just kind of laughed that he changed his handle to the Draw. I'm like, whatever, dude. I'm not really worried about seeing you ever.
No, I've never had any interest. I do not get the Sami Callihan's appeal, even before he nearly bashed Eddie Edwards' face in with a baseball bat.
Yeah, you're not making me watch, as you mentioned, Impact Wrestling. I realized, because that was one of those things that last week, in some ways, you don't even need to leave the WWE. They had those two UK specials, and I couldn't believe both of them. It was like 2.5 hours and 2:45. The WWE, well, and I guess that can kind of wrap us back around to this week, too. The WWE had, like, I felt like Raw was good last week, the UK special was good, NXT was really good, SmackDown was good, and then this week, woof. Which is why we're talking about the Jericho Cruise.
Right. Actually, I didn't think Raw was that bad. I like the show-long storyline, or almost show-long storyline, with Roman Reigns, actually, even if it meant the same guy in two different matches in the course of an hour. But it was an interesting way to do it. I mean, you got this Roman Reigns. They've obviously changed course. You've got this Roman Reigns and Lashley match that is for nothing. No title, no shot at the title. But they're doing what the best with what they've got there.
Right. Yeah. I guess it's another one kind of similar. I was glad that Team Hell Yeah got a victory over someone, you know, within the scope of things, because they are challenging for the belts. If Bobby Lashley at some point is to challenge for the belt, he needs a win over a big name. Roman Reigns can still claim that he beat Brock Lesnar in the Steel Cage match, if you want to go back to that eventually. So, I like having Bobby Lashley go over in this situation, but we'll see what they end up doing.
Right. Yeah, I don't necessarily see a win for Bobby Lashley coming. I think this is Roman Reigns, a big win for Roman Reigns before SummerSlam. I mean, I guess we can talk about, you know, the, you know, rumors and innuendo, is Brock Lesnar skipping SummerSlam or not?
Oh.
I'm in the camp of WWE is in more than they maybe usually or have ever really done, are in the business, have gotten in the business of trying to put fake news out there. I really, really do. I think that they really want people to believe that there's a chance that Brock Lesnar's not showing up at SummerSlam. So that when they finally get there, people will even cheer Roman Reigns winning the title.
Well, it's kind of funny that they've done this already with Brock Lesnar, And it was one of the last things they did, because they had the Dana White taking pictures with Brock Lesnar. Because I'm trying to think, was it Survivor Series was that for, or was that right before WrestleMania?
That was before WrestleMania. That was the build up to WrestleMania.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like they're playing, kind of pulling from a similar playbook with this one. It's just like, you want me to buy this again, huh? And I guess I am kind of getting to the point where I'm okay with Brock Lesnar not being there all the time, but it's also to the juncture where it's just like, I'd like him there a little bit more frequently than he's there now.
Yeah, this is getting it's getting silly, but it's also getting silly because you're starting to believe the rumors and speculation out there of Brock not doing SummerSlam. I mean, Brock has taken his post-WrestleMania vacation and not come back until SummerSlam before. He has worked some pay-per-views in between over the last, 5-6 years, but for the most part, I don't want to say much, but 50% of the time over the last season back, maybe he's skipped everything until SummerSlam this time of year. Of course, it's different with the title in the picture, and he was actually around quite a bit, during the middle of last year.
Doing three shows
in a row, basically.
Well,
he did do three shows in a row.
And the other thing that they tend to do if they want to keep Brock Lesnar in the news purposefully is they send out Paul Heyman every now and again. And they haven't really done that. I mean, we talked about his Facebook tirade on a Saturday evening. But they have not brought him on camera, really, for any purpose.
No, they haven't. So, I mean, I feel like this is certainly more part of their long arcing plan to finally coronate Roman Reigns at the right time. Yes, they should have just done it at WrestleMania, but here we are. Although, one interesting, rumor that's been out there is that this coming Saturday, Brock Lesnar, after the heavyweight championship fight, Brock Lesnar will enter the cage to challenge the winner. That's been put out there.
Yeah, well, I guess the one thing that I was keeping in mind is I did see the Dave Meltzer news that Lesnar needed to re-enter the USADA pool if he wanted to be ready to challenge by the end of the year. And that as far as his sources were telling him, that had not happened quite yet.
But it is a medical privacy issue.
Oh.
So Brock cannot, UFC and the USADA cannot
disclose that.
Cannot make that announcement for him, and Brock Lesnar is not exactly going to,
be forthcoming with that news.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brock is, one thing about dealing with Brock is that unless he tells something to Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman has loose lips, Brock is pretty good at, would be pretty good at telling a secret because he doesn't really talk to anybody. So, who knows where that's all going. I don't believe for a millisecond that WWE has Brock Lesnar doesn't have Brock Lesnar under a deal that says he doesn't have to come back one more time to drop that title. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, I would think that Vince McMahon learned his lesson after Bret Hart.
Yeah. Though it's one of those things when they were going all the retrospectives last year in different podcasts, the realization that Vince had at least 2 months to get that damn belt off of him until before the last minute.
Oh. Yeah, I've got it. You know, I think that was during the DeFranco downtime from wrestling, so I was not generally aware of that except at a later date. Oh, yeah. Because that was, I guess that would have been right around when I got back into it. But I don't think I watched pay-per-views at all. Because I do remember Bret Hart moving over to WCW. So yeah, I guess I was back into it at that point. But not too deep, I would say. But I definitely didn't see that pay-per-view.
I actually didn't see it either. So, no. I was not in a... I actually probably was more of a WCW fan at that point, and buying more WCW shows. That switch really didn't happen until after WrestleMania 14 the following year.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, so, okay, WWE title picture, Brock Lesnar, any other ground to cover with Bob and Roman?
Bob. I do think, well, I mean, like I said, they did a good job this week of involving other people in their story. I really like the Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre match. I thought that was a really, really good tag team match.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Seth Rollins was on fire, but you know, Ziggler and McIntyre were a really good team. They did some really, really, you know, really old school style stuff about cutting off the ring and preventing the hot tag until it was finally made. So I know I said I liked all of that. I like the 4-on-2 beatdown with, you know, 2-on-1 and 2-on-1 side and 2-on-1 on the other side. I really like that a lot. The Revival Reigns Lashley match, maybe not the best thing in the world. Once again, I mean, they are involving the Revival and things. The Revival have been somewhat revived on Raw, and
yeah,
it's very much thanks to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns putting over the new talent.
Yeah,
I know some people are gonna hate hearing that, but it's true.
It is true. I mean, because I already saw it on Twitter about Scott Dawson. He's like, "How do we get lucky 2 weeks in a row?" And it's just like, well, it's kind of obvious, sir. But, you know, in a storyline perspective, it's just like giving the Miz bragging rights over Daniel Bryan. It always works best when the heel really doesn't have the high ground in the situation. Because it just causes more boos.
Right. I mean, technically they lost the match on Monday because Reigns never tagged Lashley in, and but Reigns was caught in a 2-on-1 and the referee, you know, threw the match out because of disqualification. Oh. But they continued their beatdown on Roman Reigns, and old Bob decided to take his leave because, you know, this was not his problem.
I don't blame him.
No, I don't. No, and not at all. Roman Reigns has been a dick to him for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the whole situation. In a lot of ways, I can see both guys' points. Like, yeah. Roman Reigns is like, dude, you haven't won dick yet. Like, you got back here and you won a title shot already.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Roman Reigns is, you know, I guess the point, Lashley has been, an equal dick to Roman Reigns. I'll backtrack my earlier statement.
Well,
so yeah, but no, but once again, it's a lot.
Reigns started it, though.
Yeah, he did. He did well. Well, Lashley kind of was the one who first rubbed Roman Reigns' nose in his inability to defeat Brock Lesnar. So maybe it was Lashley who started it per se. I think that, I mean, it's an okay feud, but really I feel like they'll have a good match, but just doesn't feel like they're real, and they're trying, but once again, without a title at stake, without even a title shot at stake, it just doesn't feel like they're a very important match.
Oh, yeah, if it was for the clear-cut number one contender for Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, it makes everything better quickly.
Right, it absolutely does, but that's, once again, that's not the game we're playing here. We're playing the other game of, I guess Brock's not coming, so let's just fight each other.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny just because, it's another one of those situations where they went from the Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley stuff to this. And Bobby Lashley was trying to kill you with kindness in that feud, and now all of a sudden, he's kind of being a dick.
That's true. But you know, the Sami Zayn feud is certainly part of the problem with Lashley, because he was not featured prominently, in the weeks and months leading up to this. Again, he was brought back and do much, and now he's sticking his head in the title picture after, I guess, beating Sami Zayn is makes you a
title contender.
Makes you a title contender, but so Lashley has not been he has not been a featured player. Although I guess him and Sami Zayn did get a lot of TV time during their feud. I'll say they got a lot of TV time, and they were put in, you know, the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock hour quite a bit.
For all of the terrible content that has gone around Bobby Lashley since his return, he has gotten a lot of airtime.
Yeah, you're right, but it just wasn't it just wasn't good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. It's all been kind of bad. Like, they can't decide what direction to go with him. I've got to admit, I guess I'm more of a fan of Bobby Lashley being a dick fan. You know, just because, I mean, he doesn't need to be outright arrogant. But you do look at the guy and you're like, yeah, he knows that he has a chance. He's bigger than Roman Reigns. You know, it's one of those things, it's just like, well, it just kind of makes sense physically. Even if Lashley has not accomplished what Brock Lesnar did in MMA, it's professional wrestling and it's easier to sell that. You know, so why not, you know, I just want them to freshen things up with Brock Lesnar, and Lashley just kind of, he needs to look like a badass to do that.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I would prefer it being Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. I don't think a lot of people would. I think that the time for Roman Reigns to get that big win over Brock Lesnar passed, whether the crowd was going to, you know, respond positively or not. I think that just in general, the time passed at WrestleMania. They, you know, especially if it's still what they want, it's still what they want long term. I think they made a big mistake. But now, I just cannot see myself getting in any way up for another Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns match. So yeah, I would absolutely prefer Bobby Lashley or a number of other people. But it looks like Lashley might be the only other option that they're going with right now, because Braun Strowman is too busy locking people in porta potties and knocking them off the stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's starting to rear its ugly head. What happens when you give someone like Braun Strowman, who legitimately has, I mean, he should be in that Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns area of, I want a shot at the title. But for some reason, he's decided to dick around with Kevin Owens.
He's been dicking around with Kevin Owens since, you know, almost since WrestleMania, really. I mean, they really, really love watching someone obviously backstage, I think we can figure out who, really, really enjoys it when Braun Strowman runs around the ring and runs into Kevin Owens. I think that, and they just want to see it over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Owens sells the bump well, but I'd be okay with not seeing this feud happen and have this something of a three-way, or just have Braun Strowman be the outright challenger. It's something that they've done with a person with a briefcase previously. Just explaining that, you know, they obviously want as many chances at the belt as humanly possible. And I can't blame them. If you earn a shot, you earn a shot. Then you know that no one, if you have the Money in the Bank briefcase and you lose, you know you can get another type of a rematch. Like, there isn't any reason to get rid of that briefcase, even if you win the title. Which would be kind of an interesting concept that they've not gone with.
No, they have not, and that would be an interesting, you know, way to do things with, you know, the Money in the Bank holder winning the championship anyway, but also having that briefcase in their back pocket where they could, you know, essentially immediately get their title back. you know, within a matter of minutes. No, they have not gone there, and it might be the final frontier for the Money in the Bank briefcase. They've done pretty much everything else you can certainly do with it. I mean, the same night cash-in has been done multiple times now.
Oh,
we've had the epic WrestleMania main event cash-in with Seth Rollins.
Epic
during the first Roman. What?
I was going to say Dolph Ziggler cashing in on Monday night after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because you don't really...
And that's become a bit of a trope, is that the show after WrestleMania gets get Money in the Bank, or...
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They've done everything else. The Money in the Bank holder already being champion and carrying the title and the briefcase, it's the one thing that hasn't been done with it yet.
But anyway, but they still obviously are not going to do that with Strowman, I guess, to kind of get back to something of a reality. So it's kind of weird to me that he isn't involved at all. And still, again, it's going to be pretty clear when they do have the one-on-one match that Kevin Owens is overmatched. So
it is, but I don't know where you go with either of them after this, heading towards SummerSlam. So I wonder if you can. I mean, it's already been put out there. It's the local advertising has Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens in a steel cage for Extreme Rules. So that's a match where Kevin Owens could literally escape and win.
Yeah, this is true. He could really go and deservedly so chicken shit heel.
I think it'd be a good way to do it. You know, because once again, if neither of them are going to be in the Universal title picture going forward, or if there's even going to be a Universal title picture for your foreseeable future, you know, I guess what else do they have to do? I mean,
Yeah, neither of them's going back to the inner. I would think that maybe Kevin Owens would go back to the Intercontinental area at some point. But I don't see Braun Strowman trying to go after that.
No, I don't see that. I mean, he does have the briefcase. He does have his eyes set on a bigger prize. Once again, it's going to be interesting to see whenever Brock does show up again, you know, what excuse they have that Braun isn't just, you know, as I said it before, isn't just running at jumping him as soon as he walks through the door. hopefully they will have an excuse. I mean, they need to get Braun, you know, out of the building or tied up or handcuffed or caged or something.
He's got to realize it's a once in every, you know, a 1 in 3 month chance to take on Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Oh, I guess I'm trying to think outside of that title picture. I guess are they going to keep Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre as singles? Because I guess that's the one thing I kind of liked, and we talked about it a little bit, the 4-on-2 beatdown. Ziggler and McIntyre were on Rollins. The Revival was on Reigns. I guess, I don't know why, but I'm already assuming that Rollins doesn't win the title back.
Yeah, because you've got your out, you've got a potential, it could be a tie, and, you know, Ziggler retains. You can do McIntyre interference. Yeah, there's a number of things, there's a couple of things you can do to keep the title on him without it being a clean loss or too many clean losses, or, you know, because every fall or every type of loss counts in an Iron Man match. So disqualifications, count outs, do count against your tally there. So yeah, there's a number of things you can do. I mean, they obviously have a lot of faith in this Seth Rollins Dolph Ziggler match, although their last match against each other last week went at least damn close to 30 minutes. So that's, but when it went, it did go 30 minutes without a decision, because McIntyre ran in. So
right,
it makes sense that they could do that. It makes sense for them to do an Iron Man match like that, because they have gone about 30 minutes, you know, without a decision between the two of them.
I think as soon as you throw a stipulation on something, it draws more attention to it. Even if they did go 30 minutes before, I'm not sure that it sunk in because there were commercial breaks involved.
Right.
So when you get it live on pay-per-view and it's 30 minutes straight, it does mean a little bit more. But I agree with you, though, that they did a lot of... if they didn't do 30 minutes, I would say they did between 20 and 25.
I think it was certainly all of 25, if not longer, yeah. So, no, I mean, they should have a good match. Hopefully an excellent match. Ziggler has been somewhat rehabilitated here, although it's hard to overcome everything that Dolph has been through over the years.
And I think Shahid and I talked about this, but it's been years. Like, it's not like Ziggler had one bad year. I have lost faith in my fellow Flash for at least 2 years at this point. And I'm sure other people lost their faith even before that.
Oh, yeah. A number of people, you know, he had a, you know, a good thing going with The Miz, but they pulled the rug out under that. I mean, before that, it was just a... a pretty it was pretty rough going for Dolph for a number of years. I don't really, because they really lost faith in him after he got hurt after they put the World Heavyweight title on him, and as we talked about when he cashed it in. He always got things here and there, but you know.
And that was always the weird thing, is that in a lot of ways, you know, it just felt like they never pulled the trigger on him, kind of like Roman Reigns. They're still completely different situations, to me, but they pull the trigger on him, he gets kicked in the head, and they don't ever really go back to him except for in weird spot situations, because he ends up ending the Authority, but doesn't really get any, you know, real push from that. He wins the Miz feud and doesn't get banished, and he loses the title back to the Miz like a month later.
Right. Yeah. It's been that legendary start and stop push for Ziggler pretty much the whole way through his career. I mean, he rubs it, whether it's something to do with his effort. He rubs people the wrong way, or whatever it is. But you know, once again, it's been rough going for the guy. Hats off to him for even getting him back this far. You know, and Seth Rollins is the right opponent. You know, for him to at least, as he loves to say, show off. And have and still prove that he can have these great matches. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be a sleeper match of the show for sure.
Yeah, I guess I hope at this point it isn't a sleeper. Like you said, it's been a couple of good matches that they've had now, and. Yeah, it's just hard to sleep on a match that involves Seth Rollins at this point.
No. Yeah. Right. As it says, Seth's the right guy for Dolph to be in the ring with to you know, get his mojo back and hopefully, once again, hopefully they put on a match that is remembered, and hopefully, you know, Dolph isn't still just being used as a stepping stone for Drew McIntyre, and then Dolph goes back down again. I'm sure the ceiling for Drew McIntyre is higher at this point.
But that doesn't
mean that Dolph should
just be crapped on after you reestablished him.
Because I keep saying it after every push that he gets after years of nothing. All right, and when that goes by the wayside, okay, you just can't bring him back again. He's just done. But they've done it again, and hats off to him.
You know, I mentioned it earlier in the show because I think that one's pretty exhausted. Weird things happen outside of the WWE TVs. I make fun of the Riot Squad quite a bit for their not very riotous antics. And Ruby Riott ends up getting injured at a live event. And that leaves a gaping hole, honestly, on the Raw side of the women's roster. Because there aren't a lot of heels that... they've really put her in a good position, because Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan are not on her on her level.
No, they are not, and she's absolutely missed when she's not around. I mean, although once again, because they went forward with Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan on their own without Ruby Riott, makes me think that. They at least at this point believe that Ruby Riott won't be gone for very long, so there's no reason to take the whole act off TV.
Oh, right.
Once again, I mean, Liv Morgan is getting better. Not nothing great at this point, but she is improving. Still, once again, still issues with the personas and, you know, what exactly is the Riot Squad. And, you know, I mean, having them do you know, be chaotic backstage is at least something for them to do to prove that they are the Riot Squad.
Yeah, it has been so underwhelming, though. Pushing over a janitor's bucket this week, I'm just like, man. Just, I know that you can't actually do it, but I guess I just think about something bad and obnoxious to do, and I think about some acquaintances of mine who may have blown up a Pepsi machine.
Blown up, you say?
May have, allegedly, they blew them up with, you might call them, 4th of July fireworks.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they need a segment like that where they're actually doing something that's over the top, instead of, that's just the latest one. They don't need to be having a riot, like a literal riot. But if you want them to kind of look badass, they need to do more than what they're doing. And it seems like they've done this segment at least three times now, and it's just like, come on, man. Like, the third time, you got to be going, okay, we need to up... It's kind of like the Braun Strowman stuff with his feats of strength. Like, everyone kind of exponentially gets crazier, and I guess we could... At least this week with the porta potty, I was like, God damn, man, that's got to be a workout. I would imagine that Kevin Owens was stabilized in the porta potty by the time Braun Strowman pitched him off of it. Or he was not in it at all. And
I'm
mysterious.
I think that maybe he wasn't in it, but I don't know. I mean, they have the blue liquid, which, according to our colleague Dr. Shahid Abdul Hadi, you know, that is the liquid they put into the toilet, the commodes in all Porta Johns. I will take the good doctor's word for it. That's what all those years of pharmacy school.
there's the dueling thought there that I have been in a porta potty before. There is weird blue liquid in there. A number of them, though, have been, if there's a porta potty, they've normally been used. So it's been a little bit, the blue stuff has been a little bit diluted, and there's usually some type of feces in there. And that liquid really seemed to lack both of those things. So that's why that segment was just kind of weird, simply because of that. You know, there really should have been a little bit more involved than what they did. But again, like, you're trying to compare, and I guess this is my point, you're comparing pushing over a janitor's mop bucket to a porta potty getting drugged from the outside into the arena, up a ramp, and off said rant, or off the stage. Those two things are being compared. Which one's a riot? I'm just gonna throw it out there, dragging the Port-a-John in onto a stage and tossing it off the stage.
Right. I have no retort to that. You are right.
So, yeah. Anyway, you know, I enjoyed the Braun Strowman stuff. I enjoyed the Kevin Owens stuff. Like it's fun, but the ladies need a little bit of help. And boy are
two of the ladies getting the help they need from one Dr. Shelby.
Very well played.
Yeah. They finally last week got, turned the corner with this whole thing, and it was played pretty serious. And now this week, as we expected, it's a total clown show. Which worked for Daniel Bryan and Kane, but it is not working for Sasha and Bayley. Unless the idea is that they will get back together, possibly even as heels or something.
Yeah, I guess this is a time where I'm not going to give it a knee-jerk reaction. Like, was this week not compelling? Yes. It was not one of the more compelling parts of Raw to me. Is there some ground to go over? I think so. Will they go there? We'll find out. And I guess that's the best that I can leave it at. Because I think that Bayley getting, both of them getting more of a character is a good thing. Because the whole boss situation still, to me, has not been as well played out on main proper WWE TV as it was on NXT. And the same can be said of Bayley's character.
Right. Bayley's character presentation has been the problem from the beginning. Just plopping her into this world as her already fully formed character without all the years of buildup it took to get them to the point where, Bayley could win the NXT Women's Championship in front of 15,000 people, all jumping up and down and practically in tears. And then Sasha, no, they've never really done anything because with Sasha as the boss, because she turned babyface pretty quickly, so she never had years of being the heel boss either.
Yeah, and these segments could, and they don't necessarily need to go back to those personas in NXT. If these segments lead them to their new characters, I'm all for it. Do I always have faith in the WWE? No. So we'll see what happens with this one. But I'm definitely willing to give it a shot. Like, both of those characters needed something to change with them. And hopefully this will be the catalyst.
Agreed. I mean, it did say right at the end, to be continued.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing that did remind me. I feel like when I initially saw the Kane and Daniel Bryan segments, I was just kind of like, oh, man, whatever. And maybe my memory is not serving me well, but I feel like I was nonplussed for a little while, and then the segments started to grow on me. So maybe the same thing, maybe the same progression will happen with these Bayley and Sasha segments.
I am appreciating your optimism here. Well, again, I hope if it was just leading to a match between these two, we wouldn't be going through this whole rigmarole for two straight weeks. So there might be a twist coming that will take, as we said, the two characters in a new direction.
Yeah. Well, I guess speaking of new directions, is there any direction we want to head before getting on out of here? Anything on SmackDown that we didn't cover? Really kind of a quiet week. I haven't watched Ring of Honor yet, and I have not really caught any New Japan in the last week. Although their special is coming up, I believe, in San Francisco, and it's going to be live on New Japan World, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's live on Access TV. Oh. And then on demand on GPW World. I believe within the next day. I believe so. The show is Saturday, so it would be up on New Japan World on Sunday with the option to either listen to the U.S. commentary, which would be Jim Ross and Josh Barnett from Axis, and not Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, which I really disappointed in, because I think that Kelly and Callis have really stepped up their game with their most recent New Japan calls, and I really, really don't like Ross and Barnett. Ross just comes off very ill-prepared, and Barnett comes off like he's not enjoying, you know, a lot of the in-ring product as far as his taste in wrestling are concerned. So it just makes for a kind of, eh. I know our mutual friend who will be joining us in Chicago for All In, Daniel Kuster, will be disagreeing with me, but I really find that Ross and Barnett to be really, really bad.
I do not like... I have my issues with Callis more than Kevin Kelly, honestly. But I do like that combination better than the one or two events that I've heard with Josh Barnett and Jim Ross. And that's probably a good way to leave that one.
Right. So because I know I'm supposed to have plans Saturday night, I will not be able to be watching the show live. Nor do I really have the ability to, because I don't have access on my cable channel, and I've exhausted all of my options with Sling TV to keep getting free trials, and I'm not going to pay $20 just to watch this show for the month. Maybe I'll find something else if I'm truly, truly inspired to watch the show live and I'm home a little early enough, but most likely I could wait to watch it on New Japan World the next day. Very possibly in Japanese commentary.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. It's just like New Japan would be completely insane to have that belt come. Because is the Kenny Omega Cody match for the belt?
Yes, it is for the title. Cody was not successful in. Actually, that's part of something we can talk about. Cody was not successful in regaining the Ring of Honor title this past weekend at Best in the World, and then the very next night at the TV tapings, which we're not spoiling anything because Ring of Honor put this right out there, that Jay Lethal won the Ring of Honor title in a four-way at the Saturday night TV tapings.
Oh, well, I have got to admit I do not read any spoilers, so that's a... I mean, that it's a surprise to me, because Jay Lethal has definitely been a centerpiece of Ring of Honor TV for the last, I would say, couple of months, beating people that have beaten him.
Yeah. That was a good storyline, having him get the title back. And once again, I'm not really spoiling anything, because I believe ROH has already put the match in its entirety out there on their Honor Club streaming service, and I mean, it'll air in its entirety on TV in the coming weeks, but I don't think it'll be like a situation like it's a full episode or anything like that, because obviously they've already spoiled it themselves.
Oh, right. Yeah, they'll probably do a highlights version of it, which they have a tendency to do for matches of that type.
Right. But that does mean that if Cody was unsuccessful in regaining the Ring of Honor title, and he's, you know, most likely going to be unsuccessful in winning the IWGP title from Kenny Omega, you know, in Omega's first title defense, that Cody's attempt to have the trifecta coming out of All In is not going to happen, and it will likely still just be Cody challenging for the NWA championship at All In.
Yep, and that's why he booked that match.
I want to win my daddy's belt. Nah, I don't. I get it, Cody. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's going to be against Nick Aldis, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, I was, you know, kind of waiting for another shoe to drop as far as, you know, Nick Aldis, because he's not a Ring of Honor guy or somebody who's really in the mix, but it appears that, you know, Billy Corgan has become something of a partner in this endeavor, so the NWA is going to be featured prominently with Nick Aldis defending the title.
Yeah, and that should be a pretty good match. I mean, I remember liking Aldis as Magnus in TNA, one of the few bright spots outside of the Hardys the last time I was watching it. If he's, you know, refined things any better in the meantime, all the better. But yeah, I mean, it should be a solid enough match. So I think we can wrap it up after that one, then?
I believe so, yeah. I believe that, you know, we've exhausted the news of the week in the world of professional wrestling. And we will bid you adieu as we will be celebrating the 4th of July holiday tomorrow, or today, as you will be listening to this. crank us up when you're outside grilling and having those cold driveway beers.
And I will tell one beer that at least the peoples in the Northeast. And even part of the Midwest, like the two of us are in. Clown Shoes beer. It's out of the Massachusetts area. Space Cake Double IPA. I have had it previously. And I believe I may have had it on a show with Ken on a very early OPA episode. And, you know, really having gotten into double IPAs, this one is still really fantastic. It kind of has a little bit of that dank hops taste that a lot of Imperial IPAs have, but it also has a lot of good citrus flavor, which not a lot of double IPAs have. So that is one that is available not just in my area. So go out and give that one a try if you have not on my previous recommendation. So with that, I believe Stunt Granny Audio 463 has come to a close. Have a good night.